All right, we are back in at, oh, shut my phone off. What time is it?
12:50.
12:50.
11:50.
11:50.
11:50, Fortis College.
Someone who can't see we're squatting at
Hello, I'm Jason Pullman, the campus president of Fortis College Phoenix, and I believe we have a couple people online.
Yes, we have Jason Mika, who's our corporate director of financial planning and analysis in Baltimore. And my name is Steve Budosh. I'm the chief financial officer of the company, also in Baltimore. Jason and I have been on these calls for a couple of years now with our campus president. So.
Great. Who wants to update us?
Well, I can start. As you know, when it came time to look at the lease at the current building, the terms that they were willing to offer were unacceptable, which left us in the position of having to find another location. And consequently, we had to suspend enrollment since we didn't know where we were going to be and when, and we had to suspend enrollment until we get this situation sorted out. At this point, we don't have a place ready to move in. Every place that, you know, we're looking for location, price, and just physical properties, you know, and everything that I've seen so far has fallen short on one of those, you know, at some point. There's one that I'm kind of interested in, but it's a brand new, I just barely found out about it in the last couple weeks, so hopefully there'll be some updates at some other point in the future, but I finally found one that I'm interested in looking at, but of course that has to go through the corporate decision-making process. In the campus, we have, I think right now, 8 more students than we had projected. Our retention's actually a lot better than we expected for what few students we have. Our outcomes are very strong, about the strongest you could expect them to be. We recently had our licensing visit with the Board of Nursing, and they love us, relicensed us. They're telling us, please continue moving forward and start a bachelor program if you can. So everything is positive except the obvious elephant in the room with the location and the finances on that.
And Jason, this is Steve. I can chime in and add to that if you'd like.
Oh, sure.
We are, as you said, you've uncovered a space in the last several weeks, and we are working that aggressively here at our corporate office. We have a real estate group that manages our facilities. We've got about 45 different facilities across the country. They are looking at that location along with a couple of others. So we hope to get this to some sort of conclusion in the next several months. You know, with regards to the Phoenix facility, they're on target. As Jason said, they're slightly ahead of their plan for the year. Excellent outcomes in its dental and its nursing programs. Regarding the parent company, Education Affiliates, we are on our plan for this year that we have shared with our bank and our board. I'm pleased to announce that we just got done our FY17 audit. Ernst & Young are our auditors, and we got it yet, you know, for the 14th year in a row since our inception, we got a clean opinion from EY. So that audit report was just issued in the last 30 days. We pretty much wound down all of the schools that we had brought in front of the board over the years. They're pretty much out of our numbers, and they were quite a drain on our assets and cash flow. We added one in Baltimore where it's the neighborhood's gone downhill. It's primarily a cosmetology school, and it was just long-term not a good fit. So that'll be out of our system in the next couple of months. We will be submitting our financial statements to the Department of Education the end of December. And given that our Title IV was slightly less last year than the prior year, quite frankly, due to some non-Title IV business that we brought in to, you know, strategically keep our 90-10 rates, which I believe are very low at company-wide 75%, we expect our letter of credit with the Department of Ed to go down after they review our statements and issue a letter to us sometime in March or April. So we are EBITDA positive, and you know, we continue to make progress, and you know, I'm pleased with our results to report to the board at this time.
Anything else?
That's all I got.
Yep. Mr. Lupke, any questions, or do you want me to start?
I'm trying to. Well, I'm looking at the history of the last few years. I'm trying to figure out where you are with accreditation.
We just. It's funny, where are we with ACCSC? We were just reaccredited for 5 years, and we're not sure if that runs out in 2019 or 2020. Okay. Sorry, my mind just went blank, but we got a few years forward.
And are you still in suspension mode in terms of enrolling students? Or?
Correct. We're not going to start enrolling until unless we have another location to enroll to.
All right. And then how do you think that will affect the budget going into next year's fiscal year? With no new revenue streams, will you still be able to show a positive net operating income?
For Fortis College Phoenix?
Yes.
I don't think that would be realistic, but I'd ask Steve to chime in and give a little more.
Yeah, we're hoping that we have a new facility picked out in the next couple of months, equip it, and then, you know, start enrolling again. So, you know, our goal is, you know, bring this back in and start enrollments again. The company is prepared to fund the Phoenix School during this period, and, you know, we will be preparing a new budget. Our fiscal year ends in June, so we will be preparing new budgets in the spring of next year, the year ending June of 2019.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So according to the quarterly report that you submitted, looking at your balance sheet, and so your current assets at Fortis College are $132,000, and current liabilities $508,000. So, you know, less than, you know, about a third, 0.3 or so. Which, as I understand, you're saying that EA will support operations, especially as you go through this period. With no new enrollment over the next few months. The question that I have, though, is that for educational affiliates, you said you're going to be profitable, but your current ratio is very similar. It's less than 0.33. And so how do you know, where is the cash going to come from?
Sure. Very good question. We collect our receivables in roughly 14 to 15 days, and the terms we have with almost all of our vendors are about 60 days, and those are primarily book and other vendors. And from time to time, you know, if we need a short-term bridge, our owners have given us that bridge for a short period of time. We've been funding ourselves like this for several years, and the only time we have, you know, the ups and downs, just the due to the Title IV drawdown schedule. But like I said, we do an excellent job at collections. We have a very minimal bad debt. And, you know, we have excellent relationships with all of our vendors. So
you're on reimbursement right now.
We're on HCM1, and that puts about, I would say, maybe 2 hours into the 2 hour delay in the process, because we're fully automated. We manage all the financial aid here at corporate. I have a full team that does that.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks
for the
update.
And have a great holiday season.
You too. Thanks.
If I could you send me the final audit? I haven't received that. The 2017, you said it's been completed?
Yes, it has been.
Okay, last one I have is obviously 2016. I haven't received the 2017.
Great. I will forward it to Jason, and Jason, you can forward it over. Is that okay?
That's
sure.
Fine. Thank you.
That's fine.
And while you're still here, what was your composite score calculation for the new audit?
Well, minus 1.
Minus 1.0?
Yeah, minus 1.0. That's due to, quite frankly, the company was grown through acquisitions, and we had to write off like all of our public competitors or most of our goodwill, and that led to a negative equity component. But, you know, it has ranged from a 0.3 at its highest to a minus 0.1. But the DOE has just kept our LC consistent at 15%. So
okay. All right. Well, great. We'll learn more about your audit next year.
Sure. And everybody have a great holiday. Thank you.
Great time.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
It's time to galvanize.
Hello, anyone?
Hi, everyone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Joanna Shea in Denver here. I'm our Director of Regulatory Operations. We've also got our General Manager for our Phoenix campus, Diana Vowles, on the phone, our Program Director for our Phoenix campus, Meryl Critch, on the phone, and our VP of Finance based out of Denver, Matt Smith, on the phone.
Well, welcome.
Thanks so very much for having us.
It's our pleasure. What would you like to update us with?
Sure, Diana, I'll let you take it from here.
Okay. Good morning, or afternoon all, I guess it is. This is Diana Bell, General Manager of the Phoenix campus. I think I saw most of you about a month ago. In terms of the last month, sorry, it's getting a little loud where I am. In terms of the last month, we have continued to see growth in the galvanized campus, both in students and in member companies who are significant hiring partners for our students. So we made a couple changes in Q4, and this is where our flexibility in adapting to our markets is helpful. We found in the Phoenix market that many of the students enrolling for our programs needed additional prep work to be prepared for the immersive. So our program team has significantly increased the frequency of our free workshops and our prep work that pre-course prep work that prepares the students for the immersion. As a result of doing that, we now have 200 students who have engaged with us in the prep courses and prep material, which positions us well for Q1. We did make a change in the cohort start date in Q4. Which is delaying revenue until Q1, but the pipeline for Q1 is very strong with over 200 students in the prep courses right now. So that's the high-level overview in terms of, you probably recall that our model involves bringing industry and education together, and we've picked up a significant number of member companies who are partnering with us on hiring, including the biggest one, Intel, joined us last week. They have membership on our campus where they're actively engaged with students, and that will be a fantastic hiring opportunity as they graduate from our programs.
Great. Anything else?
Joanna, anything else we want to add to that? That's the view from the ground.
Yeah, I think that's a great update, and otherwise here to answer whatever questions the committee has.
So I guess the question that that we have is the same question that we had at the last meeting. And so what's your guys' burn rate?
Sure. Hey, this is Matt Smith. Can answer that. Let's see. So our company-wide burn rate, now we deal with a number of working capital considerations, and we work with certain funding partners, Climb and Access, which delays some of our cash inflows. Our operational burn rate in quarter three averaged $1.7 million in operating cash flows and $1.9 million in total cash flows.
So that was positive cash flow or negative cash flow?
Sorry, cash burn.
Okay. And at the last meeting, Galvanize, as the parent company, you'd said that you were, I think you had just done another round of funding for, is it $12 million, $9 million?
Yeah, so we ended up raising $7.3 million in October.
Okay. And that's not reflected on the income
on the September balance sheet, no.
Okay. So I guess I'm just wondering, given the operating losses, you know, how does that set you up for next year? Because it looks like whether
sure.
It's here in Phoenix or, you know, I know you mentioned, I think, New York, San Francisco, Austin, Denver, one of the other locations, right?
Yes.
And so,
yeah, so
similar operating losses or larger in the other markets, unless I'm mistaken. So, you know, it's your business, but I'm just wondering how, you know, what the strategy is.
Sure, yeah, we've taken steps. Actually, in September, we did have a reduction in force, ended up terminating it. It was 39 employees, two of which were in Phoenix. So we focused on payroll reductions to match our revenues. And we've also reduced non-payroll operating expenses by 42% since September and have continued to focus on you know, cost-cutting efforts and efficiency efforts throughout our business to drive towards profitability and cash flow positive in 2018.
Okay.
So, Matt, can we speak about the Phoenix location? Can you give us a projection roughly of where you see the end of the year being in terms of profitability?
Sure, yeah. So we actually are anticipating a slight decrease in revenue in Phoenix in Q4 due to some delayed cohort start dates, you know, as well as some seasonality of our business and our other lines of revenue. And we also would expect expenses to decrease alongside revenue. But the result is going to be a negative EBITDA or net income in Q4, resulting in an annual net income of negative $341,000. But we anticipate in late Q1 for Phoenix to remain or to become consistently profitable, as we've demonstrated we can do in Q3. As we start to see revenue pick back up and continue these cost-cutting efforts.
Okay, so at the end of 2016, you had a net loss of about $225,000.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by 2017, you're saying, you're guesstimating that it will be around $340,000 in the red. So,
yes.
And then, but you feel optimistic about 2018? About 2018. Can you give us
yes,
two,
we do.
share two or three reasons why you feel optimistic about 18?
Sure. Well, you know, to begin with, the dip we're seeing in Q4 is, you know, like I said, due to seasonality and also to, you know, pushing back some cohort start dates to Q1. So we're going to anticipate an increase in revenue. We're also introducing new revenue streams. We're introducing late entry to our cohorts as well as rolling admissions to help with our fill rates. And we're working on, but have not yet completed, a nights and weekends offering as well. So these are all reasons we expect to see revenue increase in 2018. And you know, the Phoenix campus is still reaching its maturity, so other lines of revenue are also, you know, expected to increase alongside.
Yeah,
and then from
can
an
I add to that?
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, please.
Oh, okay. This is Diana speaking. I'd like to add to that the primary reason we are much more optimistic about 2018 is when we came into the Phoenix market, as all of you in the room probably know, it's an emerging tech market and is not yet at the state of tech proficiency that we see in our other markets, which are Denver, San Francisco, Seattle, New York, and Austin. And as a result, we found after opening that, as I mentioned earlier, we needed to add some prep work to our courses to bring our students up to the level that we see in our other markets and be able to complete the technical assessment with the same proficiency level we see in other markets. So we did not want to adjust our program to make our program easier, reduce our standards there. What we decided to do is add additional opportunities for Phoenix students to come onto campus for workshops, for entry level, basically strategic onboarding for the students to get the Phoenix students up to the level that we see in other markets. And we've seen a significant increase in students jumping into those programs. In the web development portion of it, got the number of 200 students I mentioned earlier, that's how many people have enrolled for this prep material on web development. And we also have had significant uptick in the data science. So our two key programs, web development and data science, we have seen double and triple the number of people participating in the prep workshops and the free course material to prepare for the immersive. So our pipeline is probably four times as strong today as it was 2 months ago.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We'll see you guys next year.
Joanna,
thank you.
Joanna, this is Terry. If I could, if you would please email me who all was on the phone and their titles.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Great, thank you all.
Dr. Harris. Is Dr. Harris here? We have
Mr. Harris, are you on
Mr.
the line?
Harris.
Todd?
Merritt Business School?
Magdalena or Todd, are you on the phone? You did just see him in October.
Okay, so
reason I put them back on is the September statements came in, so.
Sorry.
Okay, moving on.
We'll see them next time. Should we take another break? CTY Career College. Please introduce yourself.
I am Tim Smith, the CEO of TTY LLC. I should have Paul Gardner, the CFO for the Center for Excellence in Higher Education, too, on the call. Are you on there, Paul?
I am.
Great. And where are you calling in from, Paul?
I'm calling in from Kansas City. I'm traveling today.
Okay. Care to give us an update?
Sure. We are making some significant strides for improvement. We just put in an addition for new programs to add to our programs. We've added 11 programs, or sorry, we submitted for 11 programs last week, mainly along our technology sector, going more into cybersecurity as well as some other ethical hacker, those types of things. In January, we're planning to increase our prices a bit. We were able to also win a purchase order with the state of Arizona for our employee side of our business, our B2B corporate side. So that was good for courseware development. So that was a success. And this year we recently did win a GSA contract, so we'll be able to do additional sales to federal agencies through that contract as well.
Okay.
Those are some of the items that I think will make a positive difference next year.
Okay. Thank you. Anything from the Center for Excellence?
Just overall, we continue to do well as an organization and continue to support TTY and their endeavors to grow and get back to profitability.
Okay.
Paul, since we have you on the phone, can you explain to us on the balance sheet, we have a line item called restricted cash. Can you explain a little bit more about what that is?
Yes, just hang on a second, let me grab it real quick. So that is cash that's held for potential for contributions that we've already committed to that have not paid yet. So future years contributions to other nonprofit organizations.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Would those other nonprofits be colleges within the kingdom of CEHE?
No, those would be, no, any contributions we make are outside our group of schools and organizations. So those contributions are typically to outside organizations that are helping promote education, do things to further education in the the greater good, basically.
Okay, thank you.
Could you, I'm a little bit at a loss. I'm looking at the letter that you sent to Ms. Stanfill on October 3rd. And so TTY is 100%, TTY LLC owns TTY Career College, correct? Now, is TTY Career College a private for-profit or a not-for-profit?
It's for-profit.
For-profit, okay. And then CEHC is a 51% owner. Or no, TTY LLC is a 51% own subsidiary of CEHE. Could you explain that? I'm just having a hard time wrapping my mind around that, my brain around.
So CEHE owns 51% of TTY LLC, and the LLC is the entity that actually owns TTY Career College.
So you have a nonprofit owning a for-profit.
Well, yeah, and to do that, you have to go through something like this with an LLC.
Okay. And you can do that because it's a relatively small portion of the overall CEHE portfolio?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So you could, since you're better at accounting than we, either Paul or myself, so the money that comes out comes back to CEHE from TTY and is untaxed. Money that comes directly back out of TTY back to CEHE is an untaxed contribution back. Is that correct?
No, we would pay taxes on any earnings that we would get from TTY. And it would be paid at the LLC level. And then anything left over that after tax would go back to the EHC nonprofit organization.
Correct.
Well, the shareholders, each of the shareholders in TTY are going to be responsible for their own taxes. So you're saying that the portion that's attributable to CEHE is still taxable?
That is correct.
Okay. Right. Okay.
I'm just curious. I understand you're no longer accredited by ACCSE.
Correct.
And you voluntarily withdrew while there were, I think, a complaint was going on, but...
No.
No?
No, there's no complaint.
Or a response was due or anything. Anyway, did ACCSE not have issue with that organizational setup?
No. They approved the change of ownership. Was no problem with them.
Tim, I don't know if I've asked you this, or you've been so patient sitting in the back of the room all morning. The projected profitability for the school for this coming year, this 2017, what do you see that coming in at?
It's probably going to be... negative 650, something like that.
Okay.
For this year.
We're trending at greater losses than the year before.
No. The loss the year before was 880, I think.
Oh, 880.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My notes say 441, but 880 to 650, so that's progress.
Correct. Yeah, we're
okay.
Progressing.
Okay.
To look at next year as our year of improvement.
Okay. Would you hazard a guess what you're going to budget or 2018 in terms of
profitability? Yeah, we completed our budget. We think we can increase our revenue up to about 1.5. We still don't see that reaching profitability. So we're looking at probably about a $400,000 loss. Again, another step toward improvement. And looking really toward 2019 with the additional programs and avenues there to reach profitability.
Very good, thank you.
We do have, a strong parent company that is taking good care of us in regards to the assets and the cash, so we can play.
Okay.
We can help people.
I have no other questions.
Is this something for the board to look at, or just...
There's one different. I took it last month.
Okay. All right. I think I have no other questions, and we will bid you adieu.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lockhart.
Yes, sir.
It's so wonderful to see you. You're going to have competition because you are always one of the bright spots in this dreary environment, along with you and the other staff members here. And so do you have anything that you'd like to say as the year closes, having sat through, I don't know, how many meetings in the course of the year?
I don't know, but the 18 years in this building that I've been coming here and visiting Terry and everybody else, it would be so nice to get out of the cave and to go to a place where there's light and air
and Wi-Fi.
Communicate with the world above you.
We're going to have windows?
Yeah.
Are we windows?
Kind of.
I don't know.
I don't think
it's an old building, so these small
slits. Well, no, that's ours.
That's an every
that's
door,
ours.
Though.
Oh, well, maybe not. We haven't seen one.
All right.
Thank you.
It is 12:26.